Let's just start off with a word of prayer. Father, what a thrill it is to be able to come to the throne of grace because of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God. Father, we thank you that we have an audience with you and we desperately need you. We believe in the power of the gospel. We tasted of it. And God, we want to share it with other people. The devil is a liar. He deceives and he wants to seek to kill and destroy. God, Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. So I pray for those who've taken this time that the Spirit of God would speak through me to them and encourage them as we walk this journey together in Christ's name. Amen. Well, amen. Thank you. I am delighted to be here in this particular workshop. We're going to be talking about love the more excellent way. I like what Paul says, that I am what I am by the grace of God, and I want to hold on to that. What we're going to try to go through here quickly is going to be the introduction, and then I'm going to talk a little about love the more excellent way, then imparting love, applying love, and then the conclusion. But by way of introduction, in your notes it says, as biblical counselors, we find ourselves living in a culture where false knowledge and feelings are subduing truth and biblical morality. Communication travels fast through mainstream media, social media, political activists, and other institutions. We are living at a time where good is being called evil and evil good. That's the society that you and I are living in. And you and I have to answer some practical questions that I put on here. How should we live in such an environment? How do we function with all the demonizing, name-calling, confusion, definitions changing, the laws that are being passed and the advocacies that are coming in, and so much of it undermines the Word of God and leads people in a different direction. And you and I, in the midst of this environment, how should we live in such an environment? And one of the great questions for this particular session, what motivates us? What motivates you to counsel somebody? What do you really want to happen in the lives of those whom God, by His grace, gives you the privilege to set before and hear their lives, hear their hurts, hear their brokenness? What motivates you to counsel? That's a critical question biblically. And then third, I put down here, what do we desire to model before our counselees? What do you hope people see? What do you hope people get out of your life? One of the things you and I are challenged with as biblical counselors and as evangelical Christians, we're big on information. Sometimes we're weak on transformation. We must not only talk a good talk, but we must walk a good walk. And that's very difficult in the environment in which you and I are living. But it's nothing strange. It's nothing new. It reminds me of the fact that the church at Corinth, they had a lot of problems. I just read some of them off here quickly, but the church at Corinth, they were facing similar problems that we are today. Unbiblical divisions. They were polarized. They were going by worldly wisdom. They had pride. Their immorality was tolerated even in the church. They were looking to unbelievers to settle their disputes. They had marital problems. There was destructive debates over issues of conscience, dishonoring the Lord's Supper, self-centered service. Now, I just want you to just think about that, and I want you to think about Corinth in a way that sometimes we think, oh, things have never been this bad. Oh, this is new. This caught God by surprise. I don't know what I'm going to do. Just read your Bible. It's in there. This church at Corinth had just about everything that we're facing right now ourselves. And I think that as I think of our time together here, what I'm going to be talking about is grace relations. Tell you one of the reasons I like grace. It says God's reconciliation at Christ's expense. One of the reasons I like grace is because grace assumes that we are sinners. If we were not sinners, Christ didn't have to come and die for us. Grace assumes that we're sinners, but grace also knows that there's forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how broken the world is, there is hope because the grace of God is active. It's active in you and should be active through you as a child of God. And when you're counseling somebody, what you're really leaning on, what you're really pulling from is not your knowledge, not your ability, not your personality, but what you're really looking for is the intervention of the living God. And that we call the grace of God. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I like to tell people, what are you going to say about Paul on social media? He told you everything. He comes out, I was a sinner, I blasphemed the church, I did this, I did that, but the grace of God. As you and I are facing people in this culture, we need to be hanging on to the reality, but the grace of God. We have our college that I serve with, the College of Biblical Studies. We were at Crossroads Bible College, and we united with the College of Biblical Studies. And our mission statement is that we exist to glorify God by educating and equipping multi-ethnic Christian leaders to impact the world for Christ. We believe in that because of the grace of God. With all the division we got in our world, so on and so forth, and a lot of talk about diversity, our school is very diverse. You can see those stats up there. Optics, we're diverse. But I tell people, optics doesn't mean character. You can be diverse-looking people and just sinful. There was unity at the Tower of Babel. There will be unity when the beast and the false prophet get together at the end of the world. In the Tower of Babel, they were united trying to do something against God's will. In the end days, which you and I are fast approaching, there will be a unified group that will be killing Christians. You and I need to be prepared. We are counseling in an environment that's getting more and more anti-Christian. And so if you and I are going to be here, what's going to keep you motivated? What's going to keep you going? What's going to help you? We try to get our students to understand that with all the talk of diversity, inclusion, and equity, I'm telling people you need a grace relations council in your ministry. I think your biblical counselor should pick up that mantle. Yes, there are problems. There are problems between human beings, but there is a biblical solution. The law is not going to make all this stuff right. It might push some things here and there, but you're still going to be dealing with sinners. What we want is a transformation of the heart. And in all of your counsel, and I don't care their ethnic background or their whatever, people are people. And they need the Lord. And so as you and I counsel, we need to keep that in mind. I encourage you to create that grace relations council. Here are the things that I tell people I try to seek to do through grace relations. And somebody wisely looked at this, because I do it a lot when I'm talking about race and racism, not race but grace. And somebody listened to me and they said, well, you're just talking about human relationships. I said, hello. That's what grace of God addresses. Well, one of the things that I'm seeking to do through grace relations, and you should be seeking to do in your counseling, is we're trying to discipleship. When you counsel a person, one of the things you want to see is them come through your counseling. If they obey your counseling, they come out loving God more and loving their neighbor. That's discipleship. Another thing you and I want to see, and especially in this day and age in which we're living, and some, you might have a lot of questions, even trying to counsel people from what you would call a different ethnic group than your own, especially in this culture in which we live with the divisions, so on and so forth, is edification, encouragement. I meet so many people who, especially of what I call, like to call a lighter hue, you like to call them white, that in these discussions about diversity and inclusion and equity, and now that's hitting every realm of life right now. That's hitting your business life, your marriage life, your family life, your education life. That's all over. So if you as counselors, you're going to be hitting this from different ways as you interact with people. I find that many people of the lighter hue are confused, scared, paralyzed. And I'm saying to myself, if we as the people of God part of us are paralyzed and scared to even talk. Who's winning this battle? The devil. God didn't paralyze you. The devil paralyzed you. You and I have got to be so rooted in what I call the love of Christ and so secure in Christ that you can humbly speak the truth in love to anybody.